All right, guys, the West is on high alert for a terrorist attack this Christmas season. Let's get after it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Listen, if you're new, first time joining us, somebody invited you in, let us know in the comment section below. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you're new, where you guys are joining us from. Real quick, before we get started, do me a favor, go to your Play Store or check out the link in the description of this video where it says download our free app. Get our app today, download it, hit yes to push notifications. This is how you're going to keep up with everything that we put out, all of our headlines, all of our podcasts, everything is going to be readily available at your fingertips, again, on both Android and Apple devices, and you can get that today. Again, don't forget to hit the like button, the share button. I'd appreciate you guys sharing this broadcast as well. We'd love for you guys to get the word out, spread the information, the equipping that we give, the revelatory knowledge and wisdom that we try to give every throughout the week. And today, I want to talk about this particular. If you guys have been keeping up with our ministry, we have been putting out these alerts that we've been receiving from different sources, and we're going to put all this together today, and we're going to show you why the West again. I really believe, let me just say this, that I'll be surprised and shocked if we do not see something transpire in the next probably 2 months. And I say 2 months because not just Christmas, but going into the New Year's, you know, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, you've got these, this entire holiday season. And there is a lot of information coming out that is warning about this particular season. So let's talk about this today. All right, here's a headline from Fox News. FBI director says terror threats elevated to an all-time high since October 7th. Now, this is not the first time that he's made this warning. We reported on this several weeks ago. He came out and talked about the heightened alert. Now he's come out again recently, and he made the statement that, quote, blinking lights are everywhere.
This is breaking this hour. Terror threats against the United States reach an all-time high since the terror attack by Hamas terrorists against Israel on October 7th. A warning now from the FBI Director Christopher Wray just a short time ago in a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing.
What I would say that is unique about the environment that we're in right now in my career is that while there may have been times over the years where individual threats could have been higher here or there than where they might be right now, I've never seen a time where all the threats, or so many of the threats, are all elevated all at exactly the same time.
Wow, that's a powerful statement right there.
That's what makes this environment that we're in now so fraught, and why funding our men and women who are working shoulder to shoulder with state and local law enforcement and other partners every day makes it even more important, not less.
So blinking red lights analogy about 9/11, all the lights were blinking red before 9/11. Apparently, obviously, all of us missed it. Would you say that there's multiple blinking red lights out there?
I see blinking lights everywhere I turn.
Okay. Mm. All right. Can't say any better than that.
Blinking lights everywhere he turns for trouble, a heightened level like we have never seen. You have worked inside the White House, formerly with President Trump. You know what should be happening next in all of this. Give us a picture when you get that message from inside the White House.
Well, one of the things I would do, the very first thing I would do, was I'd be creating a whole page in my binder, calling the FBI director, calling all of those around him, his comms team, and making sure that you communicate this to the American people. And we just heard Ray do that. But we should be hearing about this from the White House podium, because with a lot of these things, it's see something, say something. And a lone wolf terrorist can cause a lot of destruction. We saw this just before Trump took over. There was that lone wolf terrorist attack on the gay community at Pulse nightclub, 49 killed. 50 wounded. It was an attack on the gay community. It was a terrorist attack. He was watching jihadist films. That's what one person has the ability to do. That was the deadliest terrorist attack after 9/11 up until that point. Just underscoring one point, Carrie Kupek, former colleague of mine in the Trump administration who was at DOJ, who worked with Ray hand in hand, he is not prone to dramatic talk. In fact, the opposite. So if he is underscoring something, it is a real threat. So if he is saying this, he's seeing something.
All right, guys, so there you have it. Listen, I just want to make this real quick. If my voice sounds a little raspy or you hear me sniffling, it's because I'm getting over a head cold. So I apologize for the inconvenience of that, or if it's aggravating on the other end, maybe on the podcast side. You'll have to. My voice is naturally raspy, but it's going to be more pronounced right now because, I'm fighting off a head cold. So just bear with me. As Paul said, bear with me in my folly. But I want to continue with this. There was another report that came out. This follows right along with this. FBI director, same FBI director, warns senators on surveillance reauthorization. What is this all about? According to the report, FBI director Christopher Wray delivered a full-throated defense of a powerful spy authority.
Welcome back. Tonight, a warning from the head of the FBI, Christopher Wray, telling lawmakers today his agency needs to renew a surveillance tool by the end of the year, or the U.S. could face devastating consequences.
It's called Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, and it's set to expire in just a few weeks. CBN Capitol Hill correspondent Matt Gopka joins us from the U.S. Capitol with more on the FBI director's pitch to continue the spy tool. Matt.
Yeah, John and Jenna, after 9/11, 702 provided a way to gather intelligence on targeted foreigners without a warrant outside of the country. The FBI director says with growing threats from Iran and China, that's reason enough to renew it now.
What are we going to say to the family whose loved one's care was sabotaged when a hospital was taken offline by a foreign adversary and the FBI wasn't able to stop that cyber attack?
FBI Director Christopher Wray told Congress authorizing Section 702 of FISA was vital to national security.
What's the justification for not using every lawful tool to stop China from stealing our technology and undermining our freedoms? Because I can assure you, the PRC is not holding back.
Wray told the Senate Judiciary Committee that world events like the Israel-Hamas war have elevated the terrorist threat level, with calls from terrorist organizations to attack America and its citizens.
Blinking red lights analogy about 9/11. All the lights were blinking red before 9/11. Apparently, obviously, all of us missed it. Would you say that there's multiple blinking red lights out there?
I see blinking lights everywhere I turn.
The 702 program has come under fire over concerns about how it can be used, including the potential to spy on Americans.
There is a concern that the tools, including FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act 702, can be abused, and that it can be used to target U.S. citizens. Let me just ask you directly, is it possible to lawfully target an American citizen under Section 702?
Well, I think so-called reverse targeting of Americans through the end run of 702 is expressly prohibited.
And 702 is set to expire at the end of the year. There has been a bipartisan push to reform some of those powers, again, over some of those abuse concerns, with some fearing it could be used on American citizens.
So, Matt, can you expand upon those abuses with 702 powers?
Well, yeah, John, earlier this year, a FISA court actually ruled that the FBI broke its own rules when they were using some of those 702 powers to investigate some of the people accused of are participating in the January 6th riot, and also some of the people who were participating in those racial justice protests from 2021. Now, some of those reforms that members are pushing for would pare down some of those 702 powers, and that would include getting a warrant before starting some of those investigations.
So again, we're talking about this legislation that this is straight up big brother technology that's going right into just more invasive technology that is keeping par and keeping tabs on all Americans and people abroad. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but again, you'd be shocked and you'd be surprised how much freedoms, or excuse me, how much freedoms, yes, that people will be willing to surrender or give up in the name of security and safety. Let me say that again. You would be shocked and surprised how much security people would give up, or how much freedoms people would give up for safety and security, or in the name of safety and security. And that's exactly what this is talking about here. Now, it appears that, according to reports, our U.S. Now, remember, the FBI director, the last time he came out and warned us a couple months ago, he warned about major infrastructure in the West. He talked about how one of the targets would be the infrastructure of the West, and we were to keep an eye on this. Well, a new report, this is from the Epic Times. Look at this. U.S. water systems targeted by Iran-linked cyber attacks across multiple states. Let's see what this says here. According to the report, multiple federal agencies are warning that Iran-linked hackers have been targeting U.S. water systems and other industries that use programmable logic controllers made by Israeli firm Unitronics as the Israel-Hamas war simmers in the background. Hackers affiliated with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the acronym is IRGC, have engaged in malicious cyber activity targeting PLC operational technology devices. Apparently, these are used in U.S. water and wastewater systems sector and in other industries, including, here it is, energy, food, and beverage manufacturing. And this has been going, according to the report, since at least the 22nd of November, according to the agencies, and said in a December 1st alert, the agencies that issued the warning include the FBI, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. Others reporting this is the NSA with Israel National Cyber Directorate, or the INCD, also joining the advisory. According to the report, after the hackers struck in multiple states, they left the following defacement message, quote, "You have been hacked. Down with Israel. Every equipment made in Israel is Cyber Avengers legal target." Now, one of these locations of this, I know many of you guys are probably wondering where, what states. According to the report, a cyber attack by the Iran-linked group on November the 25th targeted the Municipal Water Authority of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. This attack forced the utility to switch to manual operations, according to officials, and said the water quality wasn't compromised. Here's more on this.
In the U.S., a new bulletin tonight amid this Israeli war. Tonight, there is new concern that Iranian-backed hackers might have targeted the water supply system near Pittsburgh. The ominous message sent about using equipment made by Israel. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, now.
Tonight, evidence that hackers with ties to Iran may be testing the American infrastructure for vulnerabilities. Officials at a small water utility site in Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, noticed Friday night that a computer that helps control water pressure for two townships was malfunctioning. When they rebooted the system, this ominous message, highlighted in red, appeared on the screen, saying, "You have been hacked."
One strategy used by hacking groups is to start small, target a vulnerable location, and then use that to conduct additional cyber attacks in the future.
Pay attention to what he's saying here, ladies and gentlemen.
The group claiming responsibility called themselves Cyber Avengers, saying they were attacking because the water utility used equipment made in Israel.
It's mind-blowing. I would have never, in a million years, would have never thought that we could be involved in that.
Utility officials say the hack did not impact the main computer network, and at no time was water quality or supply at risk. But tonight, ABC News obtaining this bulletin from state and federal officials warning that this form of attack has the potential to target any critical infrastructure in our area.
In other words, translation, this is literally this is a dry run. This is to see how vulnerable these infrastructures are, what they can get away with. Because it's not just this, guys, but it's also been these ransomware attacks that's hit hospitals recently, the banking system. These are the airline industry. We've talked about that on this program before. These are dry runs to see what they can get away with, how much they can pull off. on larger scale attacks. The man just said that, so I'm not making this up. He just said that as well.
David, tonight those Iranian-backed hackers are warning that any American utility using Israeli products is fair game and could be targeted.
All right, so we have the FBI director who has come out not once but twice, has warned of vulnerabilities and targeted attacks on U.S. infrastructure. And now he's warning about the importance of implementing this massive dragnet of technology that is going to allow government reach right into your homes, observing everything that we do. It's not as if it's they're not doing this already. Come on, give me a break. I mean, we've talked about this. Smartphones, smart televisions, everything you have that's electronic, your vehicles. Guys, they're watching everything we do anyway, regardless. But again, it's, you know, when 9/11 happened, you had the Patriot Act. This is what all paved the way for this. So this is nothing new. So you got all this stuff going on. Then I find it's interesting. Then we're heading up to, and you knew we were going to go here with this. You just knew that it was coming here. But it appears that there is a lot of rhetoric that is increasing as we head up to, here we go, the 2024 election. And some of this rhetoric is dangerous, guys. Absolutely dangerous. In fact, I want to pull up an article here. This is from Michael Snyder of The End of the American Dream. He's also the author of the blog, the economiccollapseblog.com. We've had him on here on our program once, and we did a segment with him. We'll probably have him back in the future, I'm sure. We're going to pull up this. I'm going to read this. This is an interesting piece that he put out here. Let's talk about this. Quote, as we approach the 2024 presidential election, I'm extremely alarmed by the apocalyptic language that is being employed by many on the left. They are making all sorts of outrageous claims about how Donald Trump is a fascist that will become a dictator for life if he wins the 2024 election. This sort of incendiary language is potentially setting the stage for unprecedented civil unrest. And I'm going to show you some more reports. If you think that Michael Snyder is just kind of blowing smoke here, or he's an alarmist, or he's speaking hyperbole, well, we're going to give you some more reports here in just a minute as we go on with this. And we're going to prove to you that there's a reason why he's coming up with this assessment. Snyder went on to say that he believes that if Trump actually wins the election, that he believes there will be such outrage and anger, instead of inflaming tensions, those in positions of power and influence, you would think would try to diffuse them. However, he is saying that this thing could just be a powder keg and explode. In a recent editorial from the Washington Post, Robert Kagan boldly declared that there is now a, quote, clear path to dictatorship in the United States. Again, this is from the Washington Post, from a journalist there. He said, quote, let's stop the wishful thinking and face the stark reality. There is a clear path to dictatorship in the U.S., and it is getting shorter every day. In 13 weeks, Donald Trump will have locked up the Republican nomination in the Real Clear Politics poll average that Trump leads his nearest competitor by 47 points and leads the rest of the field combined by 27 points. So these people are already freaking out, losing their minds. The quote, the idea that he is unelectable in the general elections is nonsense. He is tied or ahead of President Biden in all of the latest polls, stripping other Republican challengers of their own stated reasons for existence. There's another publication called The Atlantic. They published an entire issue dedicated to discussing what will happen if Trump wins next year. And it is, according to Snyder, it's loaded with wild conjecture. Let's read this. Quote, for weeks, Trump has been ramping up his rhetoric. According to Nichols, who wrote this piece for The Atlantic, early last month, he echoed the vile and obsessively germophobic language of a dictator that I won't mention here by describing immigrants as disease-ridden terrorists and psychiatric patients who are poisoning the blood of our country. In a separate speech, Trump, according to Nichols, wrote that melded religious and political rhetoric to aim not at a foreign nations or immigrants, but at his fellow citizens. This is when he crossed one of the last remaining lines that separated his usual authoritarian bluster from recognizable fascism. So again, guys, to spare you all this, again, all of these publications are painting a picture that Trump is the next, I will use his initials, A.H., a vicious dictator in the 1930s, 1940s. This is what they're comparing him to. Even Liz Cheney came out recently and said that if Trump wins the election, it may mean, quote, the last election that we will ever get to vote in.
Each passing day, that the disregard, disgraced, twice impeached, four times indicted ex-president moves ever closer to winning the Republican nomination, the vision of a second Trump administration is becoming clearer. Take a look at these headlines. The Atlantic devoting an entire issue to the subject of a second Trump term with the words, if Trump wins. From the New York Times, why a second Trump presidency may be more radical than the first. And this from The Guardian, a second Trump term will be far more autocratic than the first. He's telling us. Just a few days ago, an op-ed in The Washington Post read, a Trump dictatorship is increasingly inevitable. We should stop pretending. The through line through all of this chilling reporting is a warning. Donald Trump could transform every institution that comes under the sway of the presidency, from the Justice Department to the federal bureaucracy that makes every government agency tick, to the alliances that underpin our foreign policy.
Now look at this is from Vice News. Check out this article. The Pentagon has investigated dozens of extremism cases within its ranks. Well, what's this all about? Let's check this out. According to the report, the Pentagon has investigated 183 instances of, quote, extremism in military ranks, according to a new report, including 78 cases of troops advocating for, what could they be advocating for? Ready for this? They're advocating and engaging in, or they're supporting the overthrow of the U.S. government or seeking to alter the form of the government by unconstitutional or unlawful means. Now, here's a fun fact for you. I'm sure that the arbitrators at Truth from Google and Facebook and these and PolitiFact and all them will probably send out their finest to try to fact check this. But did you know that the Declaration of Independence basically tells us that it is the duty and the right of the American people to alter or abolish any government that does not secure our unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did you know that? That's in the Declaration of Independence. But interestingly, this report says the U.S. military has a well-documented extremism problem. People with extreme political ideologies, including, here we go, white supremacists have long used the military as a place to recruit and train new talent. A lot of neo-Nazis have turned out to be former Marines. In 2021, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin ordered a 60-day pause across all branches so that they could take time to address this problem because it was so bad. According to the report from Vice, we now have a better understanding of how bad the problem actually is. According to a new report from the DOD Inspector General called the Annual Report to Congress, pursuant to FY221 NDAA Section 544, for all you technicalities out there or technical folks that like all that stuff, quote, it's an OPEC name for a serious topic. Section 554 of the Pentagon's 2021 budget required it to keep Congress informed on how well it's handling some of the Pentagon's problem areas. Sexual assault, diversity, inclusion, and responses to supremacy are supremacist, extremist, and criminal gang activity of a member of the armed forces. According to the report, It noted that 183 different instances, of the Pentagon investigating people over extremism across all branches of the U.S. government or the military. This included 14 Army investigations into, quote, advocating or engaging in unlawful force or violence to achieve goals that are political, religious, discriminatory, or ideological in nature, and 43 Army investigations into, quote, advocating, engaging in, or supporting terrorism within the U.S. or abroad. Now, Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby was recently asked about this. Let's look at this. Let's watch this real quick.
Last question is, how many extremists did you actually find?
Well, the effort, just to be clear, wasn't about going and finding extremists. There was two components here. One was to report out the work of the extremist working group, which we've done today, and also updating the instruction, which we've also done today. Now, one of the things that we knew, and we've talked about this many times, was that we needed to get a better sense of data collection, because oftentimes, sometimes you find out about extremist activity from...
Notice he said, again, data collection. Remember, we just covered that. That came from the FBI director. He emphasized the importance of this data collection. Well, again, here we go. This is being talked about again. See, that's what I'm saying. This is the danger, guys. Everything we're saying, everything we do, everything you do on social media, and we're going to talk about... I'll talk about this in just a second. What is considered to be extremism? That's a huge question. All right, let's cover that in a second. Let's go back to this.
The chain of command reporting it up, or a colleague reporting it. Sometimes we don't know about an extremist activity unless law enforcement or even the FBI reports something to us. So we took a look at both internal and external data systems, and we recognize that we've got to do a better job stitching them together. In part, you'll see some of that in the working group's report, and we're going to do that. So this exercise wasn't about finding numbers. That said, as we worked through things over the course of the last 8-9 months, we believe that less than 100 or about 100 active duty or reserve component members of the military participated in some prohibited extremist activities, about 100.
Now, of course, they won't detail what that is.
That we have been able to get together. And we, but again, our data collection systems still need to get better. And so, you know, that's what we know right now. And we obviously want to be able to make sure that we can refine that going forward, but about 100.
All right. Now let's look at this at a different angle here. Again, what does the U.S. government label or define as extremism? I like this. This is an interesting posed question here, according to CBN News. Let's watch this.
During this House Armed Services hearing, a representative of the Southern Poverty Law Center rang some alarm bells about extremism in the military.
We have the report or survey results from the Military Times last year that reported over 50% of service members of color say that they witness racist or white supremacist behavior within the ranks.
Racism continues to occur within the ranks, and we must work to root out this bigotry and deal with that problem in a comprehensive manner.
It was pointed out some 20% of those arrested for the January 6th takeover of the Capitol building were present or former military members. And the SPLC's Brooks added,
over the last several years, SPLC researchers and journalists have identified dozens of former and active military personnel among the membership of some of the country's most dangerous and violent white supremacist groups.
But First Liberty Institute's Michael Berry warned the military could be in danger of lumping in good people of faith with radical extremists.
I'm pulling directly from Department of Defense publications here, labeling evangelical Christians and Catholics in the same category that they categorize Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and the Ku Klux Klan.
Barry,
did you hear that? This is the danger that we're having here. This is why we're talking about this. This is nothing that's secret, guys. If you guys have done your homework, you'll know that we are all lumped together in this. If you are a Bible-believing Christian, you believe in what this word teaches and what it upholds, and because it's so opposing to the culture, you're considered to be an extremist.
He told CBN News it's suspected a teeny tiny fraction of troops are dangerous radicals, and purges can easily get out of hand.
While it's important to remove true extremists from our military, we have to be very cautious not to infringe upon the constitutional rights of the other 99.9%.
We lack any concrete evidence that violent extremism is as rife in the military as some commentators claim. Since the start of FY20, 9 soldiers have been separated from the Army for misconduct.
Now, this was 2 years ago. Now this number has gone way up, and they're saying, nope, we've got to purge it out. We've got to eradicate it. We've got to get rid of all of it.
Where extremism was a factor. 9 out of nearly 1 million.
Chairman Smith said that was one of the main reasons to have this hearing, to find out if there really is a problem, and if so, just how big it is.
All right, guys, and just like our title of this, it's not just America that is being warned and has these red alerts and these alarm bells going off, but it's the entire West. According to a senior EU official who has warned that there is a huge security risk in Europe over Christmas as Israel-Hamas war rages on. According to the report, Europe is facing a huge risk of terror attacks over the Christmas holiday period due to the fallout, again, from the war between Israel and Palestinian militant group Hamas. This comes from the EU's Home Affairs Commissioner, who warned this past week. The warning came as French investigators probed a fatal weekend attack near the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Questions were raised about the mental health of the suspect, who swore allegiance to the extremist Islamic State group before stabbing a tourist to death and injuring two other people with a hammer. Quote, with war between Israel and Hamas and the polarization it causes in our society with the upcoming holiday season, there is, and I quote, a huge risk of terrorist attacks in the European Union. Here is another headline, quote, this is talking about sleeper cells. Sleeper cells fears vast Hamas terror cell network will be activated over Christmas in the United Kingdom and Europe. This as Israel issues urgent warning. Let's read this. Israel has issued a chilling warning to 20 European countries over a massive network of Hamas agents operating undercover. It comes days after the EU again warned of this huge risk of terrorist attacks over this Christmas. We just talked about that. The report goes on to say that, quote, there are fears of sleeper cells of terrorists that could be activated across Europe. This comes as Israel's affairs ministry sent personal letters to the EU leaders, which included evidence of terrorist activity of Hamas in major cities across the continent. The letter included evidence of known activists, including social media posts that praised Hamas activity. The report goes on to say that the letters were sent to leaders in Italy, Belgium, the Netherlands, Sweden, the UK, Denmark, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Greece, Germany, and representatives of the EU, among others. Now, this also comes as according to this report, Europe has also had its fair share of cyber attacks as well, as their grid is under a cyber attack deluge, according to an industry warning. This report says that thousands of cyber attacks have inundated Europe's energy grid since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and a top industry leader is calling for help as officials and researchers fret that not nearly enough is being done. Quote, the crooks are becoming better by the day, so we need to become better by the day. The chief executive of EON, one of Europe's largest utilities, said in an interview that, quote, I'm worried now and I will be even more worried in the future. A recent report from the International Energy Agency found the average number of cyber attacks against utilities each week more than double between 2020 and 2022 worldwide, with 1,101 weekly attacks. Think about it. Registered last year, the EU companies have scrambled to hire cybersecurity experts in the month following Moscow's assault on Kyiv. The report noted, indicating utilities were not fully prepared. Now, I want to go back. You remember I talked about when we read that that blog from Michael Snyder, and he talked about the 2024 elections, and he predicted, and he said that if Trump was to win, based on the rhetoric that he's seeing and things that are happening and moving and shaking, that we could see some really bad things come to our nation. Well, look at this. This is a piece from the USA Today. Let me pull this up. Look at this headline, guys. Could the 2024 election cause society to collapse? This is from USA Today. Some preppers think so, and they're ready. Now, according to this piece from the USA Today, they highlighted this woman, Breck Wagner. And I'm going to read this. Quote, Breck Wagner looks out the windows of her home in North Carolina and sees disaster coming. Not immediately, but someday as hurricanes and other storms supercharged by climate change barrel up the eastern seaboard, drenching neighborhoods and knocking out power and destroying roads. But it's not the storms that Breck is worried about. Instead, she worries that an incompetent federal government run by someone like the current Republican frontrunner, guess who he is, ladies and gentlemen? You guessed it. Former President Donald Trump. So she's not worried about supercharged hurricanes and storms and disasters caused by climate change. She's not worried about, you know, these forest fires. She's not worried about earthquakes. She's not worried about pestilences and plagues and famines. Nope. She is losing sleep at night. She is full of anxiety that the federal government will once again be run by President Donald Trump. And that according to her, that he will botch the humanitarian response to a predictable disaster. So she's saying that if Trump gets in office and these supercharged hurricanes and tornadoes and disasters are more prevalent and they're coming down the pike and they come into the neck of the woods of North Carolina, she said that Trump will ignore it. He won't do anything about it. He'll botch the humanitarian response. But according to USA Today, and we know that they're one of the arbitrators of truth because they're a known fact checker. So we've got to listen to what they've got to say, and they've done their homework. And according to them, this woman is only one of a growing number of people on both sides of the political divide who are, and I quote, preparing for the possibility of a disastrous collapse of society as we know it after the 2024 election. They, according to this report, Wagner, who is 39 years of age, represents a relatively small but growing segment of Americans who consider themselves preppers. Oh, and by the way, just so you'll know, preppers are probably on that list of what's called extremist. Okay? Yes. Less, ladies and gentlemen, they're considered to be extremists because they're making such preparations and that they're and because they're actually preparing themselves for disaster collapse, that's considered extremism. Anyway, there's a growing number of people prepared to survive without a government assistance during disasters. Those disasters could encompass anything from a major storm to widespread looting sparked by election anger. And we know that those angry Republicans and conservatives have a history of that, right? I mean, the left never expresses any anger at all whatsoever. So I wonder who this is really kind of targeting here. According to their polls, in the past 12 months, 39% of millennials and 40% of Gen Zs have reported having spent money on prepping. Well, that's a lot of extremists right there. I hope they're keeping their tabs on them, guys. This is according to Finder.com, which has collected similar data since at least 2017. Overall, almost 30% of Americans surveyed reported taking some steps towards emergency preparedness last year, up from 25% in 2017. On the left, you have people afraid that Trump's going to declare himself a dictator of the U.S. and people on the left are going to end up as targets in some sort of authoritarian system. This was according to prepping expert Brad Garrett. But on the right, it's general melee and fear of society unraveling. They point to these smash and grab robberies, riots, and protests. One expert consulted by U.S. Today said a failure or perceived failure of government is almost always a trigger for people to begin prepping. He said the number of younger, more liberal people prepping indicates a loss of trust in the government. No, that can't be right. Let me read that again. The number of younger, more liberal people prepping indicates that there is a loss of trust in the government. Now, I wonder, ladies and gentlemen, why there's such a loss of trust for the government. Come on, I can hear the Jeopardy music playing right now. Dun, 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 dun. Come on. I wonder. I wonder why. According to this expert, these people saw something and felt that the government could not or would not help them. One professor and anthropologist, his name is Chad Huddleston of Southern Illinois University of Edwardsville. He's, again, a professor and anthropologist, has studied the prepping community extensively. Well, let's see what Mr. Huddleston says. He said it's important to distinguish between the large numbers of people who consider being prepared for emergencies, their civic and family responsibility, and those who are sometimes eagerly awaiting societal collapse. But he said the number of people deliberately preparing for a crisis tied to a Trump-Biden election is growing. According to this expert in prepping research, he says that one side, people think Trump may bring a new world order and they will come and get us. Now, I wonder, it's interesting that he says us. So basically, he's basically identifying himself as a liberal. Because they're the only people that has this fear. I don't know any. Guys, listen, if you're a conservative, I'm not asking that you tell me if you're voting for Trump, but if you're a conservative, Republican, whatever the case would be, do you actually believe that Trump is going to do that? Do you? I want to hear your comments in the comment section on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook. Do you actually believe if Trump was to win the election that he's going to become the next dictator and create a new world order and he's coming to get you? I want to know from you. I want to hear from you. I want to hear that. I want to hear your thoughts on that. And then the other hand, he says, and then on the other hand, you have the communities who thinks things will just get worse. So we have to help ourselves. And of course, here we go. He says, among those people, not the ones who fear the new world order headed by Trump, but the other people, he says among those, he sees climate change as a worsening existential threat the government isn't prepared for. It's the same old stuff, guys, especially if a Republican is in charge, because they're just going to let that supercharged tornado and hurricane come right through your house, and they're going to be laughing the whole time while they're in the White House. They're not going to do anything about it. Now, guys, if you think this is just a fringe group of people, listen to this. Doomsday Community wants people to live in 575 bunkers for when all hell breaks loose. According to the report, a Doomsday Community is in search of residents to live in its 575 bunkers, which can reportedly fit up to 10,000 people. Where is this at? According to the report, in the Black Hills Mountain Range in South Dakota, a former Army base which stored munitions had been repurposed into bunkers. The base has since been transformed into livable bunkers aimed at providing an epic humanitarian survival project, not just for the top 1%. According to the executive director of Vivos, who runs the Doomsday Bunkers, he told AbsolutelyBusiness.com that, quote, average people can now reserve their spot for when all hell breaks loose. He says that members of the Doomsday Group are not preppers or the elite, but they're, quote, well-educated average people who want to protect their families during uncertain times. He went on to say that, quote, we are living in very dangerous times, making the need to have a life assurance shelter solution a must-have for those who want to survive these extinction-level events. Wow. I didn't know that we were having extinction level events, but anyway, and to have the opportunity to emerge safely thereafter on the other side. So let's, if you want to know what these look like, here's a little bit of, if you guys that are watching the visual of this, let me pull this up for you and I'll show you this. Here's a picture. According to the caption, there's also medical care available. This is inside the bunker. Here's another one. Looks like a home theater man cave. with a theater seating, a TV up on a mount here. This is these are bunkers, guys. Here's one here pictured outside. Here's one with a full kitchen, dining room, living room, the whole nine yards. Again, this is all readily available for those that have that fear that all hell's going to break loose. Maybe you're one of the Gen Zers. Maybe you're one of the millennials. Maybe you think that Trump's going to rise to power and create a new world order and he's coming after you. Well, now you can get your bunker. Or maybe you're one of those ones on the left that thinks that when Trump does get in office, he's going to ignore climate change and the superstorm's coming. So now you can get underground and get away. Honestly, what this reminded me of, guys, is what this is how they're going to react in the tribulation. Did you know that? In Revelation 6, I pulled this up on the screen so you can look at this. Look what it says here. Then the sky receded. Now, this is during the tribulation. The sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. John saw this in the future. Look what he says here. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, seven groups of people, kings, great men, rich men, commanders, mighty men, slaves, and free men, all which hide themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, quote, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You know, it blows my mind, guys, when we read these passages of scripture like this, and yet you get people all the time that keep telling me, they get mad, they get into comments, and they want to argue with you, and they want to accuse me of lying to you, telling you that the tribulation is not the wrath of God. That's what they keep saying. The tribulation is not the wrath of God. It's not. It literally just said there in Revelation 6 that these people will be hiding in caves, calling out the rocks to fall on them so that they can hide from the face of who is on the throne and bringing the wrath of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus, Yeshua. And it says the wrath of the Lamb is being poured out during the tribulation and these people are trying to hide from it. All right, guys. So listen, we've got that's a lot to take in. I know, but it looks like this is why we need to please be in prayer every single day. Get with your family, plead the blood of Jesus over them. Pray over them, pray a hedge of protection over them. Ask the angels of the Lord to be with them and keep them. And they're coming in, they're going out forevermore. And just continue to pray for them and pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. Pray for our soldiers, pray for the police department, pray for those in of authority. First of all, it's commanded in 1 Timothy that we're to do that. Did you know that? The Bible talks about that. Why? Because we're praying that every plot, every assignment of hell, every assignment of the enemy would be exposed, would be brought to light, would be manifest. When we talk about plots, we're talking about terroristic plots, plots to harm people, harm groups, harm civilizations, harm one ethnic group, one religious group, whatever the case would be. All assignments of hell would be brought down in Jesus' name. That's what we got to pray. We got to continue to pray that. Be alert, be vigilant, be aware, be watchful, be in prayer. Because I believe, listen, I'll be surprised and shocked if we don't see something at least be attempted to come about and to be brought out through this Christmas season in a form of a terrorist attack. All the alarm bells are going off. All the red alarms. Groups are prepping for this, literally. People, governments, parties, the elections coming up in 2024. 2024, again, I'm telling you, it's going to be a turbulent ride, and we've got to get prepared before we even get into 2024. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's going to be our main website. Please go bookmark our website. Again, if you've not downloaded a free app, it's easy to do. Go on to your Apple Store, your Android Store, type in Endtime Headlines, look for our official ETH trademark logo, download the app, hit yes, push notifications. You're going to be good to go with every headline, every podcast. you guys that are watching this, the link is there under download the free app. Just click on the link and you can get it today. Listen, guys, if this ministry is a source of information, blessing, equipping, encouragement, please do me a favor. Hit the like button, hit that share button, and pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Right there on your screen, you can give electronically through the app at the bottom. That's the easiest way. You can give. You can go to our main website and give there, or you can give by check or by money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, again, I appreciate you taking the time to come out here on this Thursday night, December the 7th, and be a part of this wonderful broadcast. Listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. Lord willing, we'll be back right here tomorrow, Friday evening, December 8th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel, with a great segment for you. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.